Good morning. We are really happy to see you here today. Last time that I didn't mention this, but Lee, thank you. Lee is our friend here, and we are glad to see him. Well, I'm glad to see him, and I know some of you are glad to see him. The same thing when some of you who I didn't see last time, you know, most of the time because I'm moving from church to church, but I feel blessed to have the opportunity to be here at church today. Also to see my friend Dennis in the back, and welcome Dennis, and all of you to be at church today. If you notice that somebody is missing today, it would be good to give them a call. You know, I noticed that Barney had to leave a little earlier today. Something happened with his family. I don't see it, Claudette, you know, so I think she's visiting someone else or another place. I just want to be sure that we got everyone covered, you know, that everybody noticed that we love them and that we miss them here at church today. During this week, if you have been paying attention, has been a lot of discussion in the politics. In fact, today is a big deal in politics because today is happening here in South Carolina, the Republican primaries. And somebody was asking me, should Seventh-day Adventist vote in Sabbath? And Robert is saying, no. I will leave it to you. This is a civil duty. I don't think you will get paid for that. You know, and I don't think it's considered work. But if you feel that it's affecting your conscience, don't do it. But if you don't feel it's bothering, just do what you think is right. But we get in this conversation a lot, you know, when people say, what is the correct amount to get involved in politics? Well, you get involved until you feel that you are doing your conscience, right? You are voting for the person that you think is the best for the country. So I will encourage everybody to do the right duty, Sister Ann.
And just for information, because of religious purposes, you can vote an absentee ballot. It's too late for this one, but in the future, you can know that you can vote.
Right, you don't have to go in presence there. You can request one and send it by mail, and they will count it, your vote. Anyway. We don't know who will be the person who will the winner or who will be losing. But one of the things that I want to mention today that caught my attention is in reference to Pope Francis, who was visiting the border between Mexico and the United States. And for the few months, has been a discussion, actually for the few years, about building a wall between Mexico and the U.S., you know, only the U.S. and Mexico. And you know what is the intention of the wall, right? The intention of the wall is to prevent you to abandon the country, right? Now, the intention of the wall is to prevent people from entering the country illegally. And walls had the double purpose, right? Not only prevent people from entering, but also preventing people from leaving. In all times, cities used to have walls. A Vatican City, somebody was mentioned that had walls surrounding the whole Vatican City, which, by the way, is really small. But these walls were built in the 9th century. And the reason for the walls was a way to defend the city against invasions and attacks from different armies. In Colombia, in South America, one of the first cities that was founded in the Caribbean was surrounded with walls. And as a teenager, I had the opportunity to visit this place. Beautiful walls made with granite and these massive rocks. And the reason that they did the walls, that was in, I think, year 1700s, is because the pirates were attacking these cities that they were near the sea and robbing everything and killing. And so that's how they protected, you know, the city and the people that was living in there. The reason that I mentioned about walls is because walls can represent division, right? And we don't like to think about walls. Now, let me ask you this. Do you feel or do you think that we had walls at church today? So do we have anything that is separating us from each other as a members of the same body of Christ? What do you think? Do we have issues like that at church or we don't have that issue? We don't have that problem? Think about that. Do you think that we have walls in our nation right now between made difference between people from different races and different origins, even different backgrounds, right? And so walls are always being in society, and that doesn't mean that they are always right, but they are being there. For instance, go with me to the Bible and open your Bible in the book of Matthew. And you probably are acquainted with this story here, Matthew 15. And the story is mentioned, Matthew 15, verse 21 on. And I want you to pay attention to the story because I think some of the details of the story are relevant to us, right? Very good. Matthew 15, verse 21 on. This is what the Bible says. Then Jesus went out from there and departed from that region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan, came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy," right? "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries after us." But when he answered and say, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered and say, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she say, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. So if you are acquainted with the story, you notice several things. That the woman was a foreigner. She was from another country. And the disciples, they didn't like foreigners a lot. They didn't like people from other countries. And the reason that they didn't like people from other countries is because they thought that the only ones who really deserved the blessing of God was the people of Israel. The other people, well, you know, they were there, but they didn't even want to get connected with them. In fact, they refer to the neighbors and to strangers and foreigners as dogs. That's the kind of illustration that they use. So it was something that they didn't enjoy, even in getting in contact with other people. Had you ever feel being discriminated? Had you ever had passed through that experience, that somebody is discriminating against you? And if that happens, how that made you feel? And can be different reactions, right? You can get sad, toward getting really angry. Somebody's judging you and don't give you like a fair chance. So you can relate to this woman in that sense, because if you had experienced persecution or somebody hating you for no reason, then you can relate. The woman is begging for help. She is asking God, or Jesus, the representative of God, to help her with her daughter that is demon-possessed. And it seems at the beginning that Jesus ignored her, right? Didn't pay attention to her. And when Jesus was doing that, the disciples kind of like feel okay with that. They pretty much approve Jesus' reaction. That's the correct action toward these people. You know, you don't get related with these kind of people. And I didn't get the difference and what was the big deal when there were people. You know, because when you are talking to somebody and I'm talking about you people, then they get like offended, didn't get it, and you know, blaming on being a foreigner too. So because I'm going to the primary origin of the word, right? He's referring to a person, to a group of people. But some people get offended there, and the reason is because it had like a offensive connotation there. It's kind of like trying to segregate you, separate you from the other groups. And we have in our society today the tendency to be inclusive in everything, right? We want to give everybody a fair chance. But my question to you is, do you feel that you have any issues against other group of people, other persons? Have you ever hate some other person for no reason than their origin? Or maybe how they look? Or maybe you dislike, you know, don't trust them because they inspire you bad feelings. And I remember after 2001, when the terrorist attacks happened in New York, that a lot of people start feeling really scared and nervous against Muslims. In many cases, you remember in the news at the time, if somebody was obviously a Muslim getting in an airplane, some of the passengers will say, well, we don't want to be in that airplane close to this person. We want to be in a different airplane. And some people is quite ignorant, to be honest, because they don't know the difference between a Muslim and a Hindu, for instance, or a Sikh in different religions. Have you noticed these guys who use these turbans, these clothes in their heads? Everybody, well, not everybody, but some majority of persons assume that they are Muslims, when in reality they belong to a subgroup from India, nothing to do with Muslims. And the Sikhs are a very honorable group of persons. They had been historically respected because they are excellent soldiers. The English and many other empires hired them as a soldiers because they were very, very loyal, even to that. And one of their practices is carrying that little piece of cloth in their head as part of their religion. You know, it's not that they are trying to do some harm against you. It's just that's the way that they dress. And so when we are not aware of this difference, we make conclusions and we start judging others based on prejudice. So this is the case here in Matthew 15. The disciples saw this woman. It's obvious that she is a foreigner. They didn't like her. And she is asking a favor from God. Do God answer the prayer of the people that don't worship him? Do God care for hidden, for pagans? And the answer is yes. He cared for everybody. He continued blessing good and bad people, right? And the followers and the ones who don't want nothing to do with him, he blessed everybody. So when Jesus ignored the woman, like I mentioned before, everybody's happy. But then second, when he finally answered her and take care of her problem, it was kind of like a deeper lesson for the disciples. It took many years for the disciples to finally overcome this problem. In fact, for Peter, it requires a special message from God to be able to overcome this problem. When you are reading in the book of Acts, chapter 10 and 11, God is sending Peter to visit a man named Cornelius. And Peter doesn't want to go there because Cornelius was a Greek and he was a Jewish. And Greeks and Jews, they didn't mingle. They didn't get together. And how is that you are asking me to do this? And you remember the vision that God had sent him with the piece of cloth and the animals. And a lot of people assume today that God is giving Peter authorization to eat whatever he wants to, when in reality the vision is to encourage him to go and help other human beings and don't call any other person unclean, because God loves everybody. And that, to me, gives me some hope. Let's go back to our situation as a church in reference to the question that I asked you before. Do we have walls inside the church? What do you think? Do we have divisions in our church? Divisions that some of them are obvious and others are more discreet. You know, we don't talk about that, but we know they are there. You know, separation. And it's sad that in the church, especially in the Christian community, we are still having these problems, because that's a bad example. What was the prayer that Jesus made in John 17? What was the main purpose of that prayer? You remember? When he's praying for the church, he's praying for what? To everybody be one, for unity, right? For being one, like he is one with the Father and the Son, they're getting together. I have Connie and Ryan here. They are. They like to play music. How many kids do you have in one of these pianos, Ryan? Connie, how many kids do you have in a piano? 88 kids. Ah, good. You know, that's good. Did it? That's how many little pieces that you have in there, different color, and every one of these is different, right? And every one of these make a different sound. If all the keys made the same sound, what would happen to the piano? It will make some noise, but it won't be music. The way that you get music is when you are combining different sounds, different tones, and different and sequences, and that's how we create music. So I want to suggest today that the church is something like that. that you and I, we are different. We produce different sounds, but somehow God had connected us and getting us together, and together we can play the music that God wants people to hear. You know, that beautiful sound of the gospel that, you know, is God through your experience and through my experience. So I have some points that I want to share with you in reference in how to deal with the walls that we have at church. Number one is preaching about Christ. And you probably say, but Pastor, that's obvious, right? Every sermon, it should be about Christ. My question to you, is every sermon about Christ? It should be, but it's not always be the same way, right? We notice that in occasions we talk about different things, but not about Christ. Ellen G. White made two comments in reference to this. One is this: the exaltation of Christ is the great truth that all that who labor in war and doctrine are to reveal. That's interesting, right? So she's saying that we should make Christ our most important subject. The second comment that she's mentioned here is the secret of unity is found in the quality of the believers in Christ. The reason for all division, discord, and difference is found in separation from Christ. Meaning that when we are fighting with each other, it's because we are not close to Christ. And that's one of the things that people outside notice about Christians, that we have this kind of like dual presentation, right? We can be very, very hateful, but then we cover our hate in the name of the Lord, right? May fire rain from heaven, but remember, Jesus loves you, you know? And you think that when you say Jesus loves you at the end of the war, you know, the whole thing that you say before, it will be better. No, I feel bad, you know? Or like some people here in the South say it about others, when somebody is saying ill things or evil things about someone else, oh, it's Miss Anne, oh yeah, she's a terrible human being. She's really a gossiper, but bless her heart, you know. I never get the last sentence. Why are you saying bless her heart after you say all these bad things about this person? You know, but that's how Christians, we cover our ill speech. That's how we trash others and then pretend to be good, right? So we need to be consistent. If you are preaching, and preaching meaning living your life in your house, with your spouse, and wherever you are at work, you don't have to necessarily talk about religion all the time, but you can talk about Christ, right? What Christ did and how Christ is affecting you and how Christ is changing your life and how Christ has made you a better human being. Do you remember how exciting is that? When you get excited about this, then you can tell others about that. And so this writer, Sister White, is saying that when we speak about Christ to others, that will solve a lot of problems. Among the problems that it will solve is unity in the church. The second thing that we can do to bring down the walls that we have inside the church is learning about forgiveness. And we talk about forgiveness, but one thing is talking about forgiveness and another thing is practicing forgiveness, right? And I know I will get this back to me this week. Please, I can assure you 100% that my wife, during this week, she will quote, "Ah, but you were preaching about forgiveness last Sabbath, and here now you are not forgiving me for this." Why? Because she, that really knows who I am and spent a lot of deal of time with me, had to endure my annoyance and my comments and all my things that I do bad, and she's the one who had to bring patience, right? And the same thing happened in your spouse at home. And so forgiveness is something that is easy to do. More speaking than really practicing. And we need to get into that, practicing for forgiveness. Look, go ahead, Sister Ann. You want to?
That anyone who knows the Lord's Prayer, you know, praying the second time, and then recites it to the Lord, you know, it says that if we don't forgive ourselves, then Christ is not going to be. I mean, that's an awesome thing.
That's a very simple and given thing that you get from the Lord's Prayer. That's correct. And when we are praying, you know, Father, forgive my debts or my sins in the same way I forgive others, right? But again, it's easy to say and it's more difficult to practice, right? Jesus, one of the most memorable quotes that Jesus made in his life, one of the things that everybody kind of remember from Jesus' life, is when he was being crucified, he said this about the people that was killing him, right? You remember what he said? Father, forgive them. They do what they were doing, right? They were putting a nail. How is that you don't know what you're doing in my hand? What Jesus means is their ignorance about the real God make a difference. So when you get an encounter with God, and you finally get to the realizations that we are really bad people, that we are terrible, that when you look at your heart, you get scared and say, wow, I'm really a bad, bad person. But despite who I am, God loves me and give me another chance. Then that should help us to realize that we should be able to give other people a break, right? Give some grace. Now, being forgiving and forgiving others, that doesn't mean that you don't get angry or that you don't get upset. But at least we can be graceful, right? In behaving and treating all other people that is mistreating you. Now, if somebody is mistreating you for something that is not justifiable or even something justifiable, we can ask God to give us patience and love, right? And encouragement at that moment to maybe respond to this person in kindness, not because the person deserved kindness, but it's because God is calling us to do, right? He's expecting us to do this forgiveness. Now, we have an issue with forgiveness at church because it seems like some people have memories here that they are very good. You know, it's well known that elephants have excellent memories and they can remember even people from many, many, many years ago. I'm talking about an animal here, right? And some people is like that. They remember everything that you do to them, even years after the event happened. A few years ago, in a church far, far away from here, we were doing a celebration for spouses. And you know, churches, we had the tendency to, hey, let's call this couple here at the front. They are the oldest one being married. They have been married for like 50-some years. And they come to the front, this lovely couple. And I remember the guy, very short guy, always smiling, very happy guy. His wife was a little taller. And when they were at front, somebody asking him, how these 50 years have been for you? And you would expect, you know, something like, oh, well, we had good times and bad times, but the Lord has kept us together, you know, something nice like that. No, it wasn't like that. This sister took the microphone and started berating and trashing that man in front of everybody that it was so painful and sad to listen. And when you are hearing this too, especially her saying, this man that you have here is a terrible husband. And he did terrible things to me like 25 years ago. And he continued on and on and on. And the poor guy was there and not lying to you. And Denise probably remembered that event. He was crying there in silence. You know, and why you will do that to another person, especially your spouse, why you will destroy him like that in front of everybody? You know, that doesn't help. I don't know. I just wonder how they made it 50 years. You know, like, it's a miracle right there. But be careful in how we treat others, especially our previous faults. So if you are like me, that in occasions we have the tendency to remember who did to us like 50 years ago, we need help with that. Because what it means is that it's not easy for us to let go, right? Are you the kind of person that somebody do something to you and you continue after you leave the place ruminating about the event? And you should say, I should come back and say this to her, you know, or I should back and do this to this person because she did this to me. Are you like that? Well, we are not a difference. That means that we have an issue about really forgiving and letting go. So God is calling us to forgive each other because that's how we can break the walls of difference at church. Another way to break walls of difference at church is understanding cultural difference. Everybody is different. I don't care if you are from the same town or from the same, even from the same family, we have difference. The people we were talking with Denise today, coming to church, that the people from the north have some sayings that they don't use here in the south. And they have some sayings here in the south that people from the north don't get it, right? There's nothing wrong or good about that. It's just difference. It's a simple difference. Are you aware about your cultural differences? Do you know who you really are? You know, a few months ago, actually last year, it was big news here in reference to a woman in Washington State that it was a representative of one of the most prominent Afro-American associations, and she was claiming to be black. And then it was a big deal because when they interviewed her parents, you know, lovely and nice people, very lovely and understanding couple, but they were Caucasian, they were white. You know, so they finally kind of like, you know, it's like me, I start telling you, well, it's because my African roots, you know, like, and it will be obvious for you that, hey, Pastor, you are not from Africa, right? Like, number one. Number two, you don't look like an African, you know. So are you aware who you are? What is your cultural background? Because if you don't know who you are, that's a big problem right there. You know, how you can relate to other cultures when you don't know your own, right? The reason that I was mentioning about this woman is because they finally interviewed her and caught her and said, listen, I know that you are really sympathized with the Afro-American community and you had done good things for them, but you are not black. You know, you are a nice, lovely, white lady who wants to be black. You know, nothing wrong with that. It's just, that's the fact. So people get confused, right? And nothing wrong when culture is just who you are help you to relate to others. Now, once we get all connected with Christ, the Lord help us to change some of the things that they are bad in our own culture, right? Or do you think that your culture is the perfect one, that everybody should behave like you behave because you come from heaven, right? And everybody is from earth. Because some people behave like that. They think that their way to see things is the only way and everyone else is different, right? Many years ago, I was in a church, potluck, and we had this gentleman who was in a wheelchair. So I want to be kind with this guy. And I said, you want me to get your food? He said, sure. So I go there and I start grab a plate and I start putting there, you know, the rice, the potatoes, and the salad. I put everything in one plate. And I brought it to the man. And the guy was angry with me. But he was obviously angry, you know, and I didn't know why. And he finally said, who eat like that? You know, and I was looking at the plate. What is wrong with it? Nobody eat with the salad and the food in the same plate. You know, I like my salad in a separate plate. Oh, I didn't know that. That's a cultural difference. For me, it's no big deal, right? If you want to eat your broccoli with your lettuce and the potato, it's no big deal. It's going to the same place, you know. I don't want to gross you out, but it's going to the same place. But according to this gentleman, he wants his food in separate dishes. There's nothing wrong with that. So we need to learn this difference because it helps us to relate to each other, right? Some of you, for instance, to give you an example, are accustomed in your house to do certain things that they are proper in your house and traditions that you have in your house, right? The way that you eat your breakfast, or maybe the way that you prepare for the Sabbath, or maybe the way that you like to come to church, or the way that you do your things. It's, everyone is different. So when you realize that we are different, you need to learn about yourself first, and then how you can connect to other people and relate to other people. Because this cultural difference can make a hindrance preaching the gospel. And even how we relate here at church, right? So don't get offended if somebody is doing something different. They are not mean to offend you. It's just they are different. And again, they remember the illustration of the piano, right? 88 keys, everyone is doing a different sound, but we together make a harmony. Number four, follow Christ's approach. What was Christ's approach dealing with cultural differences? You remember? Let me give you one more example. This is found in John chapter 3, and it's in reference to the Samaritan woman. Let me be sure that I'm giving you the right chapter. Actually, it's John chapter 4. Jesus is moving out of Jerusalem because he's being criticized. He gets in a well. Do you remember the story? He starts talking to the Samaritan woman. She gets surprised because he, number one, was a man. And number two, he was a Jewish, was talking to her, a woman, and a Samaritan. And Jesus is explaining her that it's important to be Samaritan, it's important to be Jewish, but it's more important to be a citizen of heaven. And that God is looking for believers that they connect with Him, and the cultural difference eventually won't be a big deal for God, right? So when Jesus was dealing with people from different cultures, He was trying to approach them with kindness and love and patience. And that's something that we should relate to. You know, be understanding of the other person's difference. We are all, again, different in this matter. Now, I want to mention one more suggestion to bringing down the walls at church. And it had to do with prayer. And yes, we talk about prayer at church and we pray at church. But when we go to the practice of prayer, we don't do a lot of prayer. Have you noticed that? Let's go pray the whole night, and maybe we spend a little time praying and doing other things during the night. But in reality, we don't do a lot of prayer. We were talking today to invite you to come this evening at 5 p.m., and I'm really grateful when I talked to Gabriela and Robert about this. They normally, you know, present a DVD or some kind of program here for the ones who want to come on Sabbath and Vesper. So today we want to invite you to please come and join us in praying for the church. Come here and help us to pray for the community. Help us to pray for our construction project. Help us to pray for each other, because as you know, many of you and many of the members are sick and they need prayer. How many of you probably are aware that Sister Lillian had a big explosion in her house this week? You know, so she will tell you what happened if you come today in the afternoon. And she will tell you how God is protecting her. So it's a time for us to get together, to worship together, and to pray for each other. And in reality, we need to pray more. Amen. Do we agree on that? We are having challenges because the enemy doesn't stop. You know, our problems continue going, and it's not like, this is like a never-ending battle. You think that you accomplish something, and then you discover that many other areas in your life need improvement. So today, please remember, if you can, to come to a church at 5 p.m., we want to spend some time praying. But prayer helps. You know, God can help to heal our church and our land and our relationships. One of my favorite Bible verses is found in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Do you remember that one? If the people who call under my name humble themselves, then the Lord will say, what He says, I will heal their land, and I will bless them, and I will make them better. And so in that text, we use always in reference to praying. That's when Solomon was doing the dedication of the temple. Right? If they come here and pray, I will listen to them. So I think it's a good opportunity for us as a church to get together and to pray for each other. Dear family, I want you to remember this. Our church is not perfect. We are aware of that, right? Number two, we are all different. We have different origins, different background, different tastes. But one reality is more important than anything else, is that we all have been redeemed by Jesus Christ, what He did at the cross. And that should help us to get united, and that identity should help us to get together. So may the Lord continue blessing you and growing. My challenge to you is this. Think about this during this week, you know, as an exercise. Do you have a bias in your life against somebody or a group of people? If you do, why? Why you have this bias against people? Think about that, because we all do, right? We don't maybe accept that, but we all have this challenge. If you had that, what is the reason for that? How we can overcome that with God's help? So that's my challenge for you. May the Lord continue blessing you during this week. Amen.